Each year in June, your denomination, the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, holds an annual meeting called the General Assembly. At the 2013 General Assembly, our national leadership declared that the era of transfer growth was coming to an end, and that our Lord Jesus had a new era for us on the horizon, an era of transformation growth. Recognize that you were an important part of that era of transfer growth, as you were one of the more than 360 churches that came into the EPC since 2007. In that year, we had 182 churches. Today, we have 547 churches. Transfer growth is when churches move from one denomination to another. At the local level, transfer growth is when believers in Jesus Christ move their membership from one church to another church. Transformation growth is very different, because it is when people who are not Christians become Christians. So transformation growth is about more people coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. It is about the expansion of the kingdom of God. Transformation growth. This is what we believe the Lord has for us in the future. Now, the response of the EPC to this declaration that we are moving from transfer to transformation has been enthusiastic, and we are moving forward into it. One colleague, though, sent me this cartoon, second slide, which I think summarizes pretty well what is probably happening in some of our churches. The caption reads, "We're hoping you will lead us on a journey of transformation without requiring any real changes." You know, isn't it true? We can get excited about transformation and change, especially if it's happening to someone else. But transform us? Change us? This cartoon highlights a sticking point, because we are not only biblical and orthodox Christians, but we are also conservative Christians. And that word conservative can mean resistant to change. So the question is, can you be biblical and orthodox as a believer, biblical and orthodox as a church, and be resistant to change? I think Romans 12:2, next slide please, Romans 12:2 answers that question when it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I want to focus our attention on those words for just a few moments. They present to us a contrast. There is a way to think that conforms to the world, and there is a way to think that is transformed. Although what I'd like to do is set the contrast a little differently. There was an old way for us to think during the era of transfer growth, and there is now a new way to think if we are going to pursue transformation growth. Indeed, I want to argue that doing church in a transformational way requires thinking differently. Now, let me say that the Bart Hess Award is clear evidence that St. Andrew's Kirk gets it. You get it. You know there's a difference. You are living that difference, and God is blessing that difference. And so I share these thoughts as an encouragement and as a reminder to you to keep at it, to persist in doing well for Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Being transformed by the renewing of your minds requires thinking differently in at least two areas. Thinking about your church, thinking about your mission field. First, doing church in a transformational way requires thinking differently about your church. In the 21st century, it is very popular to talk about the church being in decline, being on the defensive. That in the response to the attacks that we're enduring from the forces of evil in our culture, we need to think like a fortress. We need to hunker down because the barbarians are at the gates. It is indeed true that we are under attack. And yet look at what Jesus Himself says about His church. Next slide, please. In Matthew 16, after Peter makes his great confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus replies, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," that is the gates of hell, "will not prevail against it." What Jesus is saying there is that His church is not on the defensive. It is on the offensive. It is attacking the forces of evil. Indeed, it is going to defeat the forces of evil at evil's strongest defensive position, the gates of their fortress. See, the mission of Jesus' church is to go into enemy territory. That is what the world is, enemy territory, and liberate men, women, boys, and girls from the slavery, the bondage of sin, death, and hell. Our weapon of liberation, the good news of Jesus Christ. Doing church in a transformational way requires thinking differently about our church. My response, personal response to that cartoon we looked at, comes from the words of Matthew West, who has written a song entitled "Do Something." The words are these: "We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are never going to change the world by standing still." Never going to change the world. We have been sent by our Lord as His church to liberate those in bondage. Well, second, doing church in a transformational way requires thinking differently about our mission field. When I started in full-time ministry in the 1980s, the thinking of the evangelical church was that the mission field was out there, Africa, Asia, the 1040 window. And we sent missionaries to mission fields. They were far away. Yet look at how Jesus described the mission field in Acts 1:8. Next slide. He said, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now the good news is, we got the ends of the earth part right. The bad news is that we forgot largely Jerusalem, that is our community. Judea, our country, Samaria, people near us who are not like us. Your country has many people in it who have had no exposure at all to Jesus Christ. Your country is your mission field. You can be sure that your neighborhood where you live has a large percentage of people who are not Christians. But let me personalize it this way. You have a personal mission field. It's the unsaved people that you are in relationship with. Yes, in your neighborhood, in your workplace or school, on your kids' sports teams. Your mission field may be unsaved people in your own family. That is your mission field. Now, given that all of us have a mission field like this, here is my application. Are you a witness? Can you share your testimony with those in your mission field? Next slide, Allie. Look at 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Can you tell others what God has done in your life? What He's doing in your life, what He will do in your life because He has saved you in His Son. If you do two things in the life of your church in the coming months, the second would be this: to ensure that every member of your church can give an answer. Give an answer to the hope that is yours in Jesus Christ. In the 21st century, it has been shown over and over and over again that the most effective evangelism is sharing the life change that God has done in your life with those that you know. Let me offer to you two thoughts as you consider the importance of your mission field and effectively working in it. Next slide, please. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me," John 14:6. Let me ask you, do you believe? Really believe what Jesus said? The only way a person can be saved is through a relationship with Him. Next slide, please. Second, Jesus said, "It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Do you really believe what your Lord Jesus said? That there is a hell and that those in your life who are not saved will be condemned to an eternity there? I have to confess that there have been times in my life and in my ministry when, quite frankly, my behavior failed my belief. It made me wonder if I really did believe what my Savior and Lord said. Do we believe these truths? Church history has shown that revival has come to the church and great awakenings have consumed whole countries. And Christians like you and me are convicted about what Jesus said, that what He said is true on these two points. Over and over again in church history, He is the only way to salvation, and there is a hell. And those without Christ will spend an eternity there. I close with a third way that doing church in a transformational way must affect our thinking That is on the question of power. Question of power. Because our denomination is a member of the National Association of Evangelicals, I meet once a year with leaders of other denominations who are also NAE members. At one of these meetings, a leader brought a colleague from Mozambique in Africa. When it was time for him to introduce himself and share, he reported that in one area of his country, the church had grown from 10 churches to over 120 churches in less than 2 years. Well, we were just stunned. And we immediately said, well, what did you do? Interesting question. What did you do? And this is what he said. We stopped relying on ourselves. We stopped relying on the Western church, and we started relying on God. We simply cried out for His help, and He showed up. He showed up. Having met with leaders from the church throughout the world in my 9 years in this position, I have to say that we are so incredibly Western, so incredibly American. We rely on ourselves, on our resources, our education, our buildings, our programs, our budget, our best efforts. And we expect God to bless all of our hard work. And when He doesn't, whose fault is it? Too often, we're disappointed in Him. He's let us down. Look at all we've done for Him. Transformational way of doing church is relying on God and His power. Earlier, I mentioned my hope that you would do two things in the months ahead. The second would be equipped, inspired, and motivated to share the great work Jesus Christ has done in your life with others. But the first one is this. The first one is this. Reject being Western. Reject self-reliance. Throw all of your reliance, all of your trust on the infinite and mighty God. In the EPC, we make our plans. We seek the future, trusting our Lord Jesus is leading us. But we do that knowing that if God does not show up, it is all for naught. We're ultimately wasting our time. Our reliance must be on Him and His power. Last slide, please. Ephesians 3:20 makes a clear statement about that power. It is not a promise that we can hope for, look forward to. No, it declares what God has already provided, His church provided you and me. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, that is beyond what we can comprehend, what we can dream, according to His power at work within us. My friends, it is already here. The question is, will we seek it? Will we rely upon it? Moving from transfer to transformation requires transformed thinking about our church, about our mission field, about our reliance. As you, as we step in to transformation. And oh, by the way, I notice that it is in front of you. a commitment to community transformation. My friends, it is more than just the community. It is your church as well that must be transformed if you're going to have the impact of Christ in Nassau on beyond that will be glorious to Him. As you step into that, you can look into the future with anticipation that the Lord will do a great work in you and in us as we faithfully follow Him. Will you pray with me?